Hi, Todd.
How are you, Congressman?
I'm doing okay today. How are you doing?
So I appreciate you taking the time.
No, thanks for... I want to say this. I want to appreciate how much you and the rest of the people in the press have been doing to make sure that people that we represent are informed of what's developing with this pandemic. I really appreciate your work.
Congressman, that's mutual as well, and that's kind of where I want to begin. This is something that really nobody had ever planned for, thought of, honestly, to get to this point in our nation's history. What's this like for you on a daily basis in Congress?
Well, the one thing I'd like to say, and it sort of reaffirms what you already know about the goodness and the spirit of the American people. You know, everybody pitching in to help their families, friends, neighbors, communities. It's unfortunate this is happening to us, but, you know, the United States, I think, is so more well-positioned than any other nation to handle it because of who we are and what we do. So, you know, so sort of looking and not being able to foresee what would happen here, it's just great to see the people across America. But, you know, I see it every day here in PA-12. People helping other people, you know, businesses, individuals, nonprofits, people are outstanding. And I think we need to be reminded of that portion as we go along, because we'll get through it, and we'll get through it because of that. So that's what I'm seeing. You know, I'm seeing a lot of people that want to help, that see their families, friends, and neighbors dealing with this, and it's just unfortunate. Losing one life is too many, but we need to pull together and do the required things and help one another. So that's what I'm seeing. That's what I'm seeing going through this from people all across PA-12.
Fortunately, or unfortunately, depending on how folks are looking at it, Central Pennsylvania and really the district that you serve, from a positive case standpoint and from a death standpoint, has really been spared large numbers to this point. But as we've heard from the experts at the federal level, that's not necessarily going to be the case going forward.
Again, we're always concerned, you know, about what's going to happen, whether it's somebody right here in PA-12 or anywhere else in the Commonwealth and or in our nation. We want to make sure that we're taking all the precautions and all the necessary steps to, as Dr. Fauci would say, flatten that curve and ultimately make sure people don't get sick and afflicted with this. But, you know, again, we haven't seen the spikes in cases where you've seen it more in the metropolitan areas. And, you know, we're just hoping that we don't. But hoping, not only hoping, but doing the appropriate things so that we don't see that, too. And so...
Speaking of appropriate measures, the state prison system has now gone on to quarantine with their first positive COVID case happening over the weekend and being announced. You've been very outspoken about the federal inmate transfer program that's going on in the region. Can you speak to both of those and also your teleconference that you're having tomorrow as well?
Well, the thing I'd like to say is, you know, we're again looking at making sure that we aren't bringing or spreading the virus. And the Bureau of Prisons has a responsibility here, you know, to make sure that movements aren't happening from any part of the country to another part of the country if we're looking at mitigation. And, you know, again, this spreads like no other disease we've seen before. We've seen some of the prisoners that have been moved have actually gotten to a place and have been sick enough to have to be taken to the hospital to be tested. And that happened with one of the individuals that came into Allenwood last Monday. So, you know, I know they can talk, the Bureau of Prisons can talk about everything they do to test people, you know, and everything, and screen. But the whole point is they had a person here, and not only did they come here, but they were on an airplane with other individuals. They were on a bus with other individuals, and now they're here. So that's my point to the Bureau of Prisons. We've got shelter-in-place orders in parts of the Commonwealth. We've got that, so why don't we shelter our prisoners in place or inmates in place in the institutions where they're already located? I know the state government has taken that with it, but the state correctional facilities, and I have been, before the state has done that, I've been out in front with the Bureau of Prisons pushing them in that direction. Unfortunately, they haven't adopted that policy. I'm going to continue to work to that end to see that they stop moving inmates from one location to another.
Congressman Keller, we're visiting with him here on a Monday, and Congressman Keller, one of the things you were very outspoken about was getting immediate assistance, not only to the folks in PA 12 that may or may not have lost their job, but also the businesses community as well with the CARES package.
Yeah, what Congress did, and again, I thought, you know, has so very many good things in it to address the recovery from phase three does from the coronavirus. And if you look at what we did was, you know, phase one was, you know, getting stuff for testing, National Institute of Health, the CDC, so that they can drive resources out through those avenues. But then, of course, we had phase two, which dealt with people that might be sick initially and being able to keep their job and have income to pay their bills and their mortgages and their car payments and the rent and that kind of thing. And then, of course, phase three deals with, okay, you know, as we see ourselves coming out on the other side of this, which we know we will, we got to look at what we do to make sure that our small businesses have the resources that they need, and being able to reopen and keep our economy going, because many of the people that have small businesses are families. They employ families. They employ and they're the backbone of our community. So, you know, there's been a lot of money put into that. And we're doing it, driving it out to them differently than ever had ever been done, and that is through their local lender. So in addition to providing resources, there's a way to put it so it gets there more efficiently rather than going all just having everybody go to the federal government to try and get this done. Local banks, credit unions, lending institutions that business may already have a relationship with can handle this and get that money out to them more quickly. And if it's to keep people employed, pay their utilities, pay their mortgage interest or their rent, a lot of that will, for these small businesses, will turn into grants rather than be a loan. So there's things there. There's things that help with unemployment compensation, that help working families that maybe work for these businesses or work for other businesses so that they have income during this time. And then also, of course, the money that the federal government will be paying out in the $1,200 per individual payment, and then the child credits that go along with that, and so forth. So there's been a lot of support put out there. You know, and everybody talks about how Congress did it. Well, we passed the bill and stuff, but this is the American people doing it. This is the United States of America doing this, not just, you know, the members of Congress, but it's the resources of an entire nation reaching out to help our small businesses, to help our families get through this. And quite frankly, our nonprofits too, because there's items in the bill that deal with firefighter, you know, EMS, you know, first responders, hospitals, you know. So we looked at everything to try to be comprehensive in making sure that our communities were taken care of. And particularly, it means a great deal for people in rural areas where a lot of the nonprofits provide such vital services.
As a follow-up, if I can ask, and folks are asking me as well, when can the regular citizen, if you will, for lack of a better term, when could they expect that stimulus or that relief? When can they expect to see that?
Well, again, I'll say this first and foremost: there's relief in unemployment compensation. So if they're filing their unemployment compensation claims because they can't work, they'll see that. They'll see that. You know, and we also, with that, we did away with the waiting week, and people that have filed for unemployment before might understand that sometimes you go a week that you have to wait and you don't get any benefits. We've done away with that so they get the unemployment benefits right away. As far as the money from IRS and Department of Treasury, that would I think most people would see that probably in the month of April, in the next few weeks, see that money getting driven out to people, and actually that they would have the current, you know, the appropriate things in place to make sure people know where to go to file for that and how to get that money. Because there are some people that aren't required to file income tax because of maybe income levels or, you know, types of income. If you're seniors and you're on, you know, a fixed income or something like that, you might not have to. But there'd be instructions for them to be able to do that. And again, this getting passed and signed into law, you know, just within the past few days, I know that the Secretary Mnuchin and everybody's been talking about getting these guidelines out very quickly. So we anticipate very shortly having those guidelines out. And again, working, we just had a phone call earlier today with some of our partners at the state level, some of our state reps and so forth, and making sure they'll have the information and that we can all communicate this to our constituents so they know how they can get the assistance as quickly as possible. But I would say over the next few weeks, you would see this money being driven out to the individuals.
Finally, if you would, if you could provide a word or what would you be able to share with folks in PA-12 that are dealing with something that they've never had to deal with before in their lifetime, and just kind of words of encouragement, words of assurance?
Well, I guess it's sort of how we opened up. You know, the thing I want to say is, you know, we here as Americans are very blessed and lucky to have a government of the people that responds to the needs of the people. And we collectively, you know, you look at the things that Americans have overcome and done in the history of our nation. There's certainly a point in time, you know, when you sort of look back at the beginning of our nation, you can look to, you know, you can look to World War II, you can look to even 9/11 of how we respond to that, and the fact that, you know, we will come through this, we will do it together, we will do it as Americans, and you know, we'll be stronger for it because this will then we will now understand how to deal with this. We'll have. Understand how to deploy the resources more effectively, as we've done with some of this, getting it out to small businesses and families. But again, my encouragement would: we are going to be through this, and when we get through this, you know, we will be strong again. And you know, we always have that to look forward to, the fact that you know, we're gonna get through this, and we're gonna get through it together.
Congressman Fred Keller, as always, appreciate your time, and thank you so much for advocating for those here in Pennsylvania 12. Stay well.
You too. Thanks. Appreciate the opportunity to communicate with all the good people of PA 12.